making a promise I won't be able to keep. I'm crossing my fingers, waiting in fiction knee-deep. What does it matter? I'm coming back to you.
Hello, welcome into episode 97 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blether with Embrace the Jackdaw, a rather long Whatsy Crack section, a new segment called Runny Runny Runny, the Swap section, a Me 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 section, and the Caithness section, and a Dram section, with a Ladaig single malt whisky. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram, and then I'll let you know what the crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Embrace the Jackdaw. Well, it's very grey around here this third week of January in Caithness, Scotland. We've got lots of shades of grey. No, not the book. The colour. The clouds are grey, the cold rain, the sleet makes it feel grey. Milky grey, dark grey, light grey, just grey. And it's made me long for the colours of spring. And then, delusionally, I've tried to come up with a theme around grey. And came up with, grey looks great when it's accented with bright colours. Lisa Much of Northbound Knitting has this style. I follow her on Instagram and she's often got two shades of grey or a black and then a shocking pink or a red as a third to go with her bony shawls. I was out at the Natural Retreats Cafe at John O'Groats yesterday and the world was grey. The stone was grey. The sea was that grey with light suggestions of blue, but lots of white with big white waves. Inside the cafe was warm and we had a good blather and I knitted and I looked at the chalets that they have beside the hotel. And they've painted them in bright primary colours, which it seemed a bit odd against the Caithness backdrop when they did them. But I like it. And today I thought, yeah, against the grey, I like the yellow. I then drove home and in the fields there were plenty of grey lag geese. The clue is in the name. They are grey, but they've got brown and white and a dash of an orange beak. They would make a lovely colourway for some yarn and roving. I was also very fortunate to see a hen harrier twice on Monday, which is lots of shades of grey, and it was fighting the wind, which happened to be about 35 miles an hour. Because I was thinking, oh, seagulls are grey too. Hold the phone, Shrek, that's a hen harrier. And I didn't see it once, I saw it twice, on my way to Thurso and on my way back from Thurso, so I was delighted with myself. Winter Watch has just finished on RTV. This is a programme where they feature British nature and what it's doing at that time. And they have teams around and about the UK to highlight the different critters and fauna that is for the season. We get Autumn Watch and Spring Watch too, and I really enjoy them. Michaela Strachan, one of their presenters, and she was on another TV programme I watched, and someone asked her to explain the Hitman and Her that she used to be on. I'm not even going to try, but it was very funny. And she's got such a lovely smile. Every time the camera came to her, she was smiling, and it seemed like a genuine one. Another wildlife presenter, Steve Irwin, was on his Crocodile Hunter programme the same time when I was channel hoping, and I thought of how much I miss him, and how much his family must miss him too. He had his little girlie helping him release a critter back into the wild, and oh, it's lovely. And he was so full of life and enthusiasm. And it made my brain go down a line of thought to Tenius Lynx. Kind of good at them, you know. And way back when I was in Canada, and I happened to be taking the gondola back down from one of the ski resorts, and these two young, kind of tough-looking snowboarder dudes got on too. This is a four-person gondola. I had nowhere to go but down. And they were chatting a bit, and I was trying not to feel or look uncomfortable. And then I saw one of them had a sticker of Crocodile Hunter Diaries on his board. So we started a conversation about this mad Aussie guy, Steve, and how cool he was and all the wildlife things that he got up to. It fair brightened up a 20-minute gondola ride and all the colours of the Australian nature. It led to me thinking of being far from home and having something in common with a total stranger, which then reminded me of Giffnet Girl. Hello, meeting Hawthorne C, hello, in Melbourne when she was on her holly bags and finding out that they both listened to me. Has anyone else had tenuous linked conversations with random people like this? A shot of colour against the grey of the situation. I imagine Hawthorne C is a shot of colour because, well, I know that the lovely Giffnet Girl is. So, why am I cuddling a jackdaw then? I hadn't forgotten. Well, I hear Paula's nature notes and I see all your Instagram nature photos and think, oh wow, look at those bonny red cardinals. Look at the blue tits, the eagles. All I've got is jackdaw clattering. That's the collective noun for jackdaws, you know. I don't even have crows, I've got jackdaws. Or lots of different types of seagulls. And even the heron is grey. Grey, 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 grey. This is like Wobble Bear, who would only say yellow to his mummy. But a slightly different colour, obviously. However, Wobble Bear was pointing out that the moon is yellow. And the moon says back, clever bear, good night. So, if I'm telling you grey, what I mean is, all these wonderful creatures are grey, but they also have bits of colour in them. Jackdaws are incredibly clever animals. They watch you, especially when gardening. They know how to pick the pea pods from the vine. That is, if they leave the seeds to grow big enough. They know if one of their own is dead, they come over and investigate. They're very family orientated. They live in a clattering. They seem to be fearless against bigger birdies such as buzzards or owls or kestrels, and they mob them like the crows do. They're quite hardy because, well, they live here in winter, and I'd like to know them more. They've got black plumage, and they also have some jazzed up purple-blue iridescent thing going on. And of course, they have some grey. So whereas grey is a colour that needs a colour to jazz it up, it's also a staple for us crafters. It makes great jumpers, cardigans, coats, jackets and hats. It goes with a lot of other colours, and whilst it might not be the loud outgoing winner of the X Factor, it should be recognised for the good old grey that it is. Friend of the show, the old grey whistle test. Grey, colour of hen harriers and herons, but most importantly, jackdaws. If you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, Sachin. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I do appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members. Memes are fun. That's true, they are. Swilburn77, Sol Stitches, Cathwood, Florida Kelly, Go Florida Kelly Run, Daria's Mum, Velvet Dancer. And I've got random hellos to Memphis Holly, Dundernit, Yarn Garden UK, London Sam, PG Knitty Nurse and Knit Full Deirdre, who was my swap partner for Sue's Knits Swap. Suggestion from Mad Mum's Louise. So hello Mad Mum as well.
What's he crack,
Satan? What's he crack? I am a bit red from embarrassment, which would go wonderfully with this grey, from some of you listeners. You who downloaded or streamed episode 96 from Wednesday to Saturday evening last week would have heard the unedited version. Oh, I cringe when I think of this. My apologies for it, because I can't recall if I swore or burped on it. I know I coughed at one point, and I drank water all the way through, which is what I want, because I can hear sometimes when I need it. See, this is me thirsty, and this is me having had a drink of water. But I've edited out the middle bit. You see, listeners, I am human, and I do this. But then I go back and I take it all out. I bow to all those other lovely, talented podcasters who can record theirs, some for over an hour, without editing or scripting. I just can't do that. I just can't do one that sounds the way that I want to hear it. So, what happened was, we've been having long-running problems with our broadband speed since November. It's mostly been running about 0.4 megabyte, and occasionally goes back up to 1, which is reasonable and with what we can expect in this rural situation that we are in. And we've been in constant talking with our provider, who asked us to do a speed check to see if we can do regular work on it. And by work, I mean uploading podcasts. And business, obviously. Now, last episode, I must thank the very, very kind and lovely Perclepsed, who loaded the episode onto the site remotely for me. Whilst I could upload it to Dropbox, I could not upload it to Podbean at that speed. It wouldn't let me. She took the correct file and she put it onto Podbean, so all you listeners give her a clap. Oh, except you who are driving, but you and the boss, yes, white heart, get clapping. Right, you'll stop now. Okay, so it was on. I was happy. And then on Wednesday, a new BT were going to phone and I worked to see if I could upload the file, but I used Richard's laptop instead of mine. I've got a wee inkling that something on my laptop is hindering it. And I had what I thought was the edited file on a memory stick and plugged it into his, started it up, went away from the laptop. When I came back, it had bombed me out of Podbean totally and I never thought to check it. Well, you know what thought did, don't you? And then I got a message from the lovely Peace Weaver on Saturday saying she'd listened to it with no Daisy giggle and me drinking. It took me a wee while to realise, but I've now deleted that version pretty quickly and I've loaded up the better one. And I hope no new listeners were trying me out or they wouldn't be coming back. I'm not normally that rubbish. What I did do was I did not overwrite the unedited version with the new version because it saved into the clips folder instead of the episode folder, and that is where the mistake was made. By me, I hold my hand up. So technicality, don't you just hate them? And idiots that can't overwrite a file properly. Anyway, moving along. Look, geese. I would just like to say hello to Woolly Bear of the Knitting Dish videocast again. And she gave me some lovely words of encouragement on her recent-ish episode. I managed to sit and watch her because my broadband had improved enough the other day. Of course, it had gone back to low again and it won't now. And I sat and I knitted whilst watching her. It was really nice of her to see those things and I didn't pay her at all. I love how she's such a prolific knitter and I love how you can see the progress on a video cast. Plus, her son came to model his new jumper she made and he was really modest and yet still accommodating, which was great for a teenager. Sammy's fan club, you can join up if you can watch Knitting Dish. She did say something I thought I would just bring up here. I don't think it was aimed at me, but I thought I would say my part. She said she joined a group on Ravelry and introduced herself at the appropriate thread, but never got a reply from the host. And like I say, I don't think that was me. But I would like to say, I say hello to everybody on the podcast if they join the group, instead of doing it on the thread, or the thread would be twice as long with me going, "Hello Fred, hello George, hello Sir," every time someone introduces themselves. And I get around it by giving you a hello on here. Plus, if anyone at all has joined the group and has never had a hello, then please do give me a message and I will rectify that matter. I like to get mentioned, so I expect that you all do too. Oh, and one last thing about the lovely Woolly Bear. She knits her sleeves first on her jumper. Do any of you do that? She said she did it because she was using the sleeve as a swatch, which is an age-old good idea. But then she carried on with the second sleeve. I thought, oh, that's quite a good idea when you get the body. You often think, I've not got one but two of these kiddies to go. Plus, sometimes the body's the good bit. Or you could do alternate jumpers of sleeves and body, then body, then sleeves. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool. Now, things I forgot to mention in the last episode. It wasn't Richard and I singing at the end of the Hogmanay episode. It was by a group called Fraction Bailey, and you can buy it from the usual www.musicalley.com. And at the start was off the cuff, and you can get them from Music Alley as well. My apologies because I added it after I had recorded. Happy Burns Night to all my Scottish listeners. I hope you had your haggis, neeps and tatties, and possibly a wee dram to wash it all down. I didn't have a party on the podcast because the schedule missed it, but, well, you're obviously still recovering from the New Year's bash, so let's rest our livers for a while. Yesterday it was suggested to have haggis baked in the oven for 45 minutes, and apparently it's much nicer because it gets rid of all the fat. Sometimes a microphone, you can't cook a haggis with a microphone, just like you can't put a fish on a bicycle. Sometimes a microwave will get rid of the fat out of the haggis, but a boiling of a haggis doesn't tend to. So there's a suggestion for you. Now, coming up, we're going to have something different for the episode coming up, which was going to be my 100th episode. If you would like to join in for this celebration of 4 years and 100 episodes, you're more than welcome. So I cordially invite you to join me for my 100th episode by either sending me a 30-second sound clip, which you can record on your phone, and email me to katenesscraftcollective@gmail.com. And if you have a shop or you're promoting something and you wish to do a giveaway, I would love to include you. Because then it makes me look really generous, whereas actually you lot being generous. I might have prizes that I fund as well. You have up until the 1st of March for me to put it all together to request to be included. Also, if you have a very, very favourite blether or a giggle or a lobster joke you wish included, please let me know and I'll troll through the archives for you. Speaking of archives, I've just gone in and given you easier access to the RSS feed for 90 episodes now. You don't really need to hear the first ones. No, you really don't. No, not even you dedicated listeners need to hear the first three. Well, I know you can actually access them if you are desperate. You can still access all the episodes from the Podbean site if you go back far enough. However, this gives you the RSS feed and I believe iTunes back 90 episodes. And Whittle had already sent me a message to say that she started. Bless her. I don't know why, but there you go. Also, Shetlands has had their Ophelia on the last Tuesday of January, where they've been celebrating their Viking heritage. They get dressed up as Vikings and guys in other dressing up and parading down this town, and then they burn a Viking longship that they've built over the winter. We had a Dadooney Day a couple of years ago where they did that in Wick and Thurso, and it was Thurso the year before, and it was amazing. Amazing. And what I didn't know until Louise from Nick British sent me information on Shetland for Sandy's project is that they don't just have one burning, they have loads in the different towns and villages up until March. What a cool way to brighten up winter. Burn it all, I tell you, burn it all. And Celtic Connections brightened up Glasgow, where loads of Celtic-type folky musicians from all over the world came and played concerts and gigs for the week. And it's something I would love to go to, but of course it's school, so can't. Make the most of the dark nights, I say. So that was the things I forgot to tell you about coming up. So they've happened. So, tough. Put in your eye for next year. Especially the uphill, yeah, that would be good fun. But moving on. Feedly. Feedly is an app for phones and tablets. And what it does is capture the RSS feeds of blogs that you wish to follow, and it has them all in one place. I was wanting something to replace the Google Reader, as it sort of stopped working or was going to or something. So I find that sometimes when I spend time pondering through Pinterest and thought, hold on, I often hear about these wonderful blogs you listeners and other podcasters read or write, and I would be checking them out instead of continuously scrolling down the humour section of Pinterest, which does indeed make me cry with laughter sometimes, especially that dinosaur bun. Oh, so funny. And I've got a couple of pins sent to me, so thank you, Nicole, and I welcome anyone sending me pins on Pinterest you might think I find interesting. I've not actually sent any, but I think it's due to the fact I thought, oh, you must have seen this before, or I don't want to patronise you, but if you would like me to, pin me and I'll pin the tail on your donkey back. Anyway, Feedly. So I'm slowly building back up the list of blogs that I used to sometimes follow. I found that I was a bit poor at following religiously, so hopefully with it being on my phone I'll be a bit better. And it's free too. So feel free to send me your blog address for me to find you and stalk you down. On to Ravelenix. I understand there was a bit of a hoo-ha. I don't actually know what the hoo-ha was in relation to the Winter Olympics Ravelenix. So I would like to wish Team GB all the very best and go get them, Tigers! Come on! We can do it. When I say we, I'll do the shouting. Now, plus, if you are knitting as part of a team to achieve your goals, some of you will win prizes, then go get them, Tigers! Watch your wrists, though, because that's all I'll say. It's good to have a deadline, though, isn't it? I love the Winter Olympics. I can't actually think of a Winter Olympic sport that I don't like, to come to think of it. There's a programme on just now, and it's Celebrity Does Things kind of thing, and I don't normally watch them. I quit going into it. They have Sir Steve Redgrave on it. Really? You'd have to get much better than him. Anyway. Oh, going up the sentence there. Anyway, they have all to learn and compete in Winter Olympic sport activities such as the slalom, the skeleton, and the loser of the event has to do a ski jump from one of the big slopes. You know, like Eddie the Eagle did back in the day. I'd love to do all those activities. Even the ski jump, which isn't like that high. And it's all the knees and the balance anyway. You can only fall over. Richard can't believe I would do that, and neither could my pal today. But someone get me up a slope of snow and I'm there. It might take me a week to learn how to do it, but I'll do it. I learned to ski in Aviemore in the Scottish Highlands, and believe me, I was no natural. And the conditioners were as tough as it gets to learn to ski. And I love skiing now, and ugh, you've just got to learn how to fall properly, really. Wee tip. Trees, no good. Avoid them, please. Wear a helmet, not necessarily your Viking one, a proper one. And then, if you know that you're going to fall over, start laughing hysterically. Your body relaxes, because if you tense up, that's when you break things. Laugh, 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 and laugh some more. And if all that else fails, whack yourself into your ski grip, because they're quite soft. And then end up landing on your instructor. Ask me how I know. Oh, I've gone off topic. So if you're signed up to a team for the Ravelenix, have good fun. Support your country, and I hope you achieve your crafting goal. I'm not going to go into the whole rules of Russia debate. Hello all Russians listening, because I know that there's a few of you. Russia is an amazing place that we want to find out more about, and I expect we will do as the years go on. Like all countries, it's not just the politicians that make a country, and I would hate for you to think that we are like our politicians, because no we're not. And I'd quite like to hear a Russian podcaster, obviously speaking in English because I don't actually speak Russian, but that would be cool. Have you been signing up for some knitting retreats for the year ahead and doing some fresh things as I requested you do last episode? Well, I would love to thank personally the lovely, lovely Paula and Twin St. Jan for personally inviting me to the Knitting Pipeline main retreat. Oh, I was so tempted, but it falls over a date I just cannot not be here for. And then I realised that, and I was quite sad. Richard had even said, go price it flights. And then laughed at me flying myself. Flying myself somewhere. Yes, because I flap my wings and off I go. Like a jackdaw flying about. I'd have to make sure that the wind was in a westerly direction. Hurricane force 12. Oof, off I go. He was laughing at me going on a plane by myself. I had it all organised. I fly from Glasgow to Newark, then get a flight to where I needed to go. Then I looked at the dates and I went, oh, okay, so not that week then. However, I'll be there in spirit maybe another time if they change the dates. I did have the most fortunate opportunity to be involved in the Knitted Journey retreat, though, a couple of weekends back. I wasn't actually there. I was Skyped in, and I'd like to thank Lisa, whose computer it was, for organising that bit. I was so happy to actually see and talk to Susan Dolph. See, I'm going up again. I'm so excited. She was wearing a jumper made from fleece that I had sent her a couple of years ago in part payment for the Yeti microphone you can hear. See, this is it, Susan. That's especially for you. I've just stroked it there and tapped it. And she was wearing this fleece jumper that she combed and spun and knitted. And I told Sarah whose sheep it came from, and she said she would love to be able to see the picture of that. They set up a Facebook site for selling their fleeces of their Jacobs. So when I get a bit more information, I will pass that on to you lovely listeners, because I know that some of you would greatly love to buy some Keithness Jacob fleece. Also, I got to speak to some really long time and beloved listeners. There was Julie, Laurie, Cece, Twins of Ellen, Lisa, and I met some new friends of Alison and Bevel, who thought, who are you? You strange Scottish lady. And, oh, I cannot tell you how much that meant when you Skyped me in. Thank you, and I'm sorry for squeaking like a fangirl through most of it. I would recommend both retreats for you listeners if you're considering signing up to a retreat. Not that I've been, but I just know that you would love them. There's actually two coming up in the northwest of Scotland open for sign-ups now. Ripple's Craft has all the details on her Ravelry board, and one is on an island called Tanara Moor, and I think this is September, and the other is in the mainland called Glencanisip Lodge in October. That's on the mainland, near Loch Inver. They sign up fast, so you better get in there quick. No, I'm not organising one, sorry everyone. I do think that a retreat at Natural Retreats and Groats would be just the ticket, but I'm not organising it. You can have my idea and do it if you like. I would attend, but I'm not organising it. Now, I would like to draw your attention to Arlen's pattern. Arlen is from the Lost Geek podcast, and she has a pattern called Traipsing Vines, Wrap and Shaw. And I'll read you what she says. Indonesia is in a national disaster alert condition right now. Due to the non-stop rain we've been having, a lot of areas are flooded, and there's a total of 40,000 plus people currently displaced and evacuated from their homes. Not counting those who have had to evacuate due to Mount Sinabung eruption. Jakarta is crippled by the flood and the rain hasn't let up yet. She wants to raise funds from knitters to help, even in a small way. The relief efforts that are going on by donating all sale proceeds from my pattern sales this month and next month, that's January and February. It's a pattern she designed a long time ago and has just got the rights reverted back to me from the publisher. It's a very versatile shawl with half sleeves attached to it, so it won't drop off your shoulders. So it's a bit like a cardigan as well. Another plus point, the pattern stitch is easily customable if you want to replace it with a favourite motif. 100% of sales of this pattern during the month of January and February 2014 will go to relief efforts of Manado flash flood, Jakarta flood and Mount Sinabung eruption. Funds will be directed to local Red Cross and local evacuation sites. Thank you for supporting the victims of Indonesia and national disasters. Now, I would say that the shawl is lovely, and it's pretty trendy just now because Daisy was given a wrap just like it at Christmas. So please do go over and purchase a shawl and raise money at the same time. And give Arlen a listen too on the Lost Geek podcast. I love hearing about Indonesia. And she's actually got a really cool along, going along this time. And it's the library along, because who was it that said it? Was it somebody? Was it Knit a Story? Or Shiny Bees? We don't think of our library as our stash. I know I think, oh goodness, I'm never going to get round to knitting all these things in my library. But I like to have my library. Well, everybody loves a library, but Arlen's organising this knit along from your library, and you get double points if you use from your stash that you had previous to 2014. And I thought, well, that's a really nice idea. So I might actually join that, because I have, I'll come on to that, but I have started. In a bitty, but one of my me section parts could go for that. So it'd be lovely if you could purchase this shawl and help raise funds. It's pretty awful that they've had going on.
Runny, money. Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. I've got a new section called Runny. And this is to tie in with the Ravelry thread of the same name. As the running is a big part of my week just now, I feel like I want to talk about it to you. I will limit it, after this episode, to telling you my progress towards my 10K in May. Still places available if you're interested. And if there's any good tips coming out of the thread or someone deserves a mention. Because I'm aware that there are some people that don't have great health and can't do the running. Some people just aren't interested. But it's part of me, so therefore I'm going to bore you stupid with it. You can always fast forward a little bit. Give yourself, say, 30 seconds just now, Rain. The two books that I have got are called 5K and 10K from Start to Finish by Graham Hilditch, and it's a sort of In Aid of Cancer Research Race for Life book. And the other one is called Running Made Easy by Susie Wally and Lisa Jackson, and I would recommend both of them. I write on the second one and I keep it by my bedside cabinet, which is beside the place that I sit down after my runs, where I take off my trainers and socks there. It has a bit at the start where you measure yourself in various places, and I can reveal, I'm not going to reveal me, but I have lost 3 inches of me, of my tummy, of my hips, on the top of my arm. I didn't even realise that I needed to lose inches off the top of my arm, but I have. And also I'm up to 6 kilometres, mostly running, both on the treadmill and outside, and I'd say it was on target for me. I find running outside a lot harder than inside, mostly to do with the wind, because I've got asthma and it affects it. But which I was surprised at, because I never have problems on the treadmill, so that's something else that I need to work up on. And if you are on a treadmill, to mimic being outside, which you can't do because of the conditions and it just the way it is, you should have your treadmill set at 1.5-ish percentage incline if you can. I love this thread on Ravelry. It's so motivation and positive. So if you're a walker or you go to the gym or just want to get out and do something and you want us to cheer you on, get on the thread. We've got lots of good tips and we shake our pom-poms regularly. I've still got the real pom-poms from America. And I'll tell you the reasoning behind the Runny Mummy name next episode.
The swap section.
Swap. Have you posted your under a kilo swap? It's due to go out on around the 1st of February, please, which is very fast approaching, and hopefully because I'm hoping that I get my podcast uploaded today. Who knows when it goes up? So it should be about now, and goodness knows when you're listening. I've been busy making things for mine, so I hope that Louise from Knit British Podcast likes it.
The beaker section. Me
section. I ripped out the Strand Wanderer shawl for now. I will go back to it, but I might use a bigger needle though. I'm still crocheting, as Sandy reads, the Infinity and Beyond Broomstick Lace Infinity Scarf by Heidi Neeling. I'm using a green and brooding hank of yarn from Sparkle Duck, and I work on this when I'm sitting listening to Sandy read his nighttime book. We finished another Beast Quest last night, so it's a way back to the school library today. Goodness knows what he'll come home with. I've got 2 loops of 3 loops to go around my neck. And I quite enjoy doing it, it's quite meditative, but I'm not so keen on hooking on the bigger stitches using the lightsaber. It's just a little bit awkward, so that's why it's going a bit slower. And I made another white baby eyelet cardigan by Linda of Clickerty Click, which is a free pattern and very lovely. And I had used white acrylic that was in my stash, and I made another little beanie hat from the Save the Children pattern I have. And I note that twins like Ellen has a baby beanie pattern going on, which is worth a lookie. Oh, and I've had a special request from a very, very lovely listener who has had, sadly had calls to be in the special care baby unit and has had the most awful time recently. And I'm sure you'll join me in sending her and her family the love and the prayers they need. But a little good from us all would be a rainbow in despair. And it was requested that I ask you, and myself of course, to rattle out a few little hats for babies in the special care baby units all over the world. I asked her if she had a favourite or a go-to pattern for little hats, and she said, as far as pattern for hats are concerned, she didn't have a preference, but what she does is normally a few rows of ribbon and then she goes up to stocking stitch. She makes them on two needles and sewn them up the seam, and she can also do them on DPNs. Babies' heads tend to vary, but the hat needs to be between 22 centimetres and 32 centimetres diameter and 12 centimetres to 15 centimetres in height. She said some units prefer hats to be knitted or crocheted in plain and pastel colours. Some places don't mind bright colours, but apparently they all dislike yellow because it makes it more difficult to spot jaundice. Now that is so obvious, and yet it never occurred to me. Now, you don't even need a name to send these two to your local unit. I would say send it to your local unit. It might be somebody that you actually know that needs or requires this little hat. And to get the comfort from this hat, I can't tell you. Just parcel them into a padded envelope. Put a wee note in to say that you're a knitter and you want to help. Put your name and address on the back of the parcel just in case it gets misdirected in the post. On the front, all you need to do is put the special care baby unit, the local address, hospital name, and go post it. Voila! Now, I did this with hats that we had for Sandy and Daisy, as both mine were in need of the unit. I look at my bairnies now and, well, you hear them. And they're wonderful, and I'm so thankful for the kindness of knitters and for the professional care and help and support we got from both units back when we needed it. So, I send my love to you, and you know who you are. I took out the owl's jumper. That sounds so pathetic next to that, doesn't it? But I ripped out the owl's jumper and I put it back in the stash altogether with the yarn. I've told the yarn its plan and it seemed happy enough to go back into hibernation. I could right go that jumper just now because it's so cold. However, I then cast on something I've been wanting to make since last March when I bought the Old Maiden Aunt 4-ply Selkie, which is a dark, dark grey. It was close to black as she had at the time. And I'm using the Karina Westerman pattern Tornvid. And I'm halfway up the first chart. See, this is exactly what I could put in as my library along entry into the Lost Geek podcast library along. Because this pattern was last year and the yarn was last year. I've got 6 points. And where are we? Now, I like the way Carla writes her pattern. I've not hit the lace section yet, big time, but I did drop a stitch at the end of the row when I was counting and my numbers were out, so I had to, for when I started the chart part of it, I'd gone a line too far as well, and then the penny dropped. So I made a stitch, and I carried on. And it was a tab top start shawl. And this is where you do a professional cast on of 2 stitches. You knit 6 rows and then you go along the edge and you cast on 3 stitches into the garter ridges and then into the 2 stitches that you've done the professional and you take out your professional thread and yarn. It's a good technique to learn if you want to start shawl knitting. There's loads of good tutorials on YouTube if you want a visual hand, specifically the Paula from Knitting Pipelines one, because that is where I learned to do it when I first started knitting the Shaylin shawl a few years ago now. Anyway, this yarn is wonderful. It's 100% blue-faced Leicester and it's crisp and it's got a good high twist going on and it's nice and round. It shows up lace work beautifully and the colour is saturated, albeit not dense, which is fine and it gives my knitting a bit of depth. There is a wee tad pill on the odd bit of yarn and I see a bit of fuzz on the shawl from me putting it in the bag and out again, but nothing worth writing home about or anything that I would be worried about. I wound it into the yarn cake using my Swift and Bull Winder and it was the first skein in so long that it did not fankle once. Oh, so happy. And I'm using it from the outside instead of the inside. I hate fankles. And I've been doing a couple of other craft things for my under a kilo swap, so I can't tell you about them until she sees them. And that's really rubbish, isn't it? Yes, bad me for thinking about that. However, I have other stuff. So onto the collective, textile artists. We were painting again, and it was good fun. That was his painting, isn't it? You get messy. I was making my luchador square look like a stormy sea. I had a foam paintbrush and I splattered on lots of different colours of blue. And the other piece of luchador I had drawn out with watercolour pencils, a depiction of my harbour from a photo that I had taken that morning. The sky was pink from the dawn, so there was loads of pinks and blues and contrasting dark greys, greys there again, and blacks of the rocks and silhouetted horizon. I'm going to get the sparkly materials and use my soldering iron to cut out the shapes and layer up this luchador and then stick it on using bond wave and then sew over it. But I've not got that far yet. I was going to try and do that all the other day, but I got waylaid by doing other things I can't talk about. Fight Club stuff. Right, Shirley has been busy and has made 3 samples of couching stitch pattern from an old purple jumper. She felted and she had a sun, a sea and a sky panel. She had beads on them and different colours of threads and wools, and they're really effective. Celia was carrying on with the moss, and Dorothy was making a cover for her Great Scottish Tapestry book. Catherine was putting together a baby quilt from scraps that she has, and Joan was stitching beads onto a Japanese-style printed panel that she has had ongoing. Anne was painting materials in which looks like a shibori effect, but I'm not sure, as I was too busy trying to keep my paint off my desk, because I kind of forgotten the plastic sheeting to paint on. It's not like I don't have a really good one, because the bairns use it. I've forgotten it. I'll be updating the textile artist blog so you can get a pictorial idea of what I'm rabbing on about. Slightly annoyed with myself because I uploaded them to Flickr and the blog likes to speak to Picasa. So Picasa doesn't speak to Flickr. Technicalities. I also went to the sewing day and a jelly roll quilt. I've been pretty busy on this. I can actually see it just now. I've got it sitting behind me. I've got Richard to help me here. I had got all the squares together, cut them down into the... not quite 6-inch squares. I put all the wee squares out and then I had to choose 12 diamond patterns and 12 pinwheels for this design that I'm doing. Richard suggested that the diamonds are the squares that were most muted colours because he said rightly, what was my foot cracking? He said rightly that if I had the brightest, boldest colours, then the eye would go straight to them and it would overpower the rest of the quilt. I thought, oh, that makes perfect sense again. I didn't know that. Of course I do now. So I then sewed them together, pinning them at all seams. And whilst they're not perfect, some of them are pretty darn close. So now I have got 12-ish inch squares and I've got 32 of them. So we have to put them on the floor again and choose the place for them on the quilt. You get a diagram of where the diamonds go and where the pinwheels go. And it's just up to you about where you put them. Expect Instagram photos of me doing this because I like to share and also fiddle with the colour function to see if the quilt colour's balanced. Because that's what Instagram's really for. Didn't you know that? It's not for food and it's not for cats or dogs. I rarely like anybody's cats or dogs or food photos. And it's not because I don't like food, cats or dogs. It's just because I would really rather see your craft stuff. Don't stop putting them on, it's just the way I am. And also, I will never like your food if I am hungry. And I always seem to find them at dinner time when I'm sitting there going, I'm not going to eat anything and I'm good to be good because there's still no pudding in my life. And then there's somebody having food. Stop it with the cheese ones, will you?
The Keithney Citron.
Right, Keithney segment. Scooby-Doo! Back ourselves in time. Doodle-doodle-doodle-doodle-doodle. Previously on Caithness Game of Thrones, Sven the Pirate is up to his usual mischief. This episode, and I know it seems to be going on forever, but bear with me, we're getting a big fight this time. Okay, Sven, Asley Farson, is a bit of a pirate and a lot ruthless. But those were the days, my friend, and he was in with the big Earl of the day, Earl Rognvald, and he was pretty much sorted for ease and whiz, really. This part was from, I'm guessing, about 1140 or 50-ish. Now remember, Sven's been and killed off Olvar and Frakok because they killed his parents. Wait, this rankled a dude called Thorbjorn Clerk because he could read and write. And he was actually Frakok's grandson and he wanted revenge. You can understand that. And he was in luck because the big Earl Chief Rognvald was down in Wick visiting a farmer called Harald, which I think they've just got Harald name wrong. It's H-R-O-A-L-D. Thorbjorn met him and travelled back to Orkney with him. But then he secreted himself over to the island of Gersey, where Svein the pirate lands were, and he slaughtered a couple of the men that had helped Svein in murdering Frakok. I can kind of see where he's coming from here. And thus, Svein the pirate came back from pillaging the Hebrides again, and he went straight to Gersey instead of paying tribute to his earl. Now, Earl Rognvald's shrewd, kind of wise, and he asked Thorbjorn why. Well, he told him why, and the earl played mother and had reconciliation talks between Svein and Thorbjorn, or so it seemed, to the earl. They seemed to be all pally-pally, and so much so, Svein wanted to go back to the Hebrides and take Thorbjorn back with him. He must obviously be quite good in the fight. And they did a bit of plundering, a bit of burning, a bit of looting, because he was a Viking. And when they got back to Duncan's being Caithness, they fell out again over the loot. Svein said he wanted more of it because he was the leader. But Thorbjorn and the other captains of the boats went back to Orkney to moan to Mother Earl. He agreed Svein was a bully, and he said, I'll give you as much from my own pocket as to your losing to him. And Thorbjorn agreed, but spoilt Bratly said, I'll never be his friend again, and I'll find some other way to humiliate him. So I suppose it's fair enough, really. Right, so now we're going back to Duncan's Bay. Previously, while Svein was away over at the Hebrides, the Earl, not quite so shrewdly, put in charge a bad dude called Margad Grimson. Clue is in the name. Who, as the name suggests, was grim, and he went off and he killed the farmer Harald that the Earl had met down in Wick a wee while ago. The Earl wasn't best chuffed at this, and Svein wasn't best chuffed at it either, but because it was one of his men, he would be taking the blame. So what they did was, they went to the wee fortress that they called Lambaborg, which is about 5 miles south of Duncan's Bay on the sea cliffs, and it's now called Bacolly and is a ruin. Fiona, you had a picture of this on your Facebook last week, which I thought that was quite timeous. Now, Svein wasn't for giving up Margad, and it said then that the Earl was sieging the castle because it was too impervious to storming it by force. After the supplies started to run down, Svein got his dudes together and he said, it's not really fair his men suffer, but he didn't want to give up Margad. So what they did was tied all the rope together and lowered themselves down the side of the cliff, and they managed to escape to pirate another day. They escaped down the coast of Scotland and they found an Orkney cargo boat, and they went off to the monastery on the Isle of May on the Firth of Forth, where after enjoying the hospitality of the monks, they looted it. How nice was he? And then he went to King David of Scotland in Edinburgh, who took a liking to him, and obviously his usage to find out more about Orkney and Caithness. So King David took Margad under his wing and kept him out of mischief there. He then sent messengers to Earl Rognvald to make things up with Svein. So Svein returned home to Gersey minus his Margad. And there we're going to leave him until next episode of Caithness Game of Thrones, because guess what? He does yet more pirating. Seems to be going on forever, doesn't it? Drams. And on to the drams this episode. And then after that, there's only the blah 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 stuff. If you're not into the drinking, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next episode, and there's only blah 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 stuff after it. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Ladaig single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Welcome into this episode of the Drams.
Hello.
And in this episode, we are drinking a Ladaig single malt Scotch whisky.
You say Ladaig, they say Ladaig.
Okay.
I say Ladaig.
I never get it right anyway.
No, you're right with Ladaig.
Would you like to pass me the box?
The box.
This, listeners, is a grey box. It's square in shape to fit the bottle in, but in length it's rectangular, so therefore it's a cuboid.
That would be correct.
Thank you. And at the top third is in cream with grey writing and a goldy embossed cresty thing. The writing, the small writing about the notes.
You might as well read that out, I would think.
Oh.
I'll read it out.
I've not got my glasses on.
I'll read it out.
And then underneath that is a darker grey embossed Island of Mull, because that is where it's from.
Mullachs.
Where would be the island of Mull?
Mull is just to the north and west of Oban.
Thank you. On the west coast of Scotland.
On the west coast, and it's a part of Argyll.
And it's 42% volume, 70 centilitres, and drink responsibly. Oh, I was reading the back, which is much the same as the front.
It's a kind of battleship grey.
It is.
If you held that out in a dreich kind of winter's day like we've got just now, you'd barely see it.
No, it's very grey.
Very grey.
Funnily enough, I've got a blather all about that. It says, a wonderfully peated island single malt from the enchanting Tobermory Distillery on the unspoilt Isle of Mull. Distilled, matured, bottled in Scotland. Burn Stewart Distillers, Glasgow, Scotland. Product of Scotland.
On the back, it says...
Oh, did I say drink responsibly?
It must be on the bottle.
Well, it'll be somewhere. Drink responsibly, people.
On the box, it says, Lydig, single malt Scotch whisky. This island single malt Scotch whisky is part of the Lydig collection, a fine selection of fresh single malts full of life and charisma from the only distillery on the Isle of Mull. The name is pronounced, allegedly, Lydig. But it's Lydig, believe me. I know these things. And translates to safe haven from the Gaelic tongue, aptly named after the area on which the distillery sits, neatly sheltered in Tobermory Bay. This intriguing liquid has a simple nose with distinct peatiness and a prevalence of fresh sea air. One taste leaves you in no doubt of its unique Hebridean island heritage, with evidence of Tobermory seaweed and dry smoke. A subtle milk chocolate flavouring leaves a lasting impression on the palate. The long and pleasant finish has a satisfying ginger sweetness with a mellow soft warmth. A golden gem of the Isles. The end.
Okay, the bottle.
Traditional old-fashioned bottle.
It is. You get that in a Western.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that because we've been watching Deadwood.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Please enjoy responsibly.
Yes. And it's got a very sort of cream label with grey writing on and black writing and same sort of font and size.
Mm-hmm.
Classic looking.
Oh, very classic, aye.
Doesn't tell you what age it is, so.
No, it doesn't.
Right. Colour of whiskey.
Very pale.
I would go so far to say that's Barbie's hair.
And some more.
Mm, Barbie said her hair bleached.
Almost like a see-through translucent Barbie.
Oh, like Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter. Richard's giving
me scary. Out of depth. Help.
Or...
Can I call a friend?
Oh, Lucius Malfoy from Harry Potter.
I know who that is.
The one that Jason Isaacs plays. Hello to Jason Isaacs fans out there.
I know who that is. No, it's not that blonde.
No, not quite that blonde. But it's very blonde. Very often we get to see that colour either, is it?
No. It's a very translucent Barbie's hair. Mm-hmm. Right, ready?
Kane's had on the whiskey. Sorry, do the cork again, please. Right, ready? Ooh, nice cork.
It's a little cheeky one.
Lovely.
I only need to pour one.
Not much of a squeak going back in.
Roll it round the glass.
Okay, and does it stick up?
Well stuck up.
Sign of a good malt, so they say.
Sniff it.
Oh, sniff. I'm getting vanilla.
I'm getting monkey. 1 week old seaweed lying on the beach in Tobermory Bay. I'm not getting that. I'm kidding. Very fresh smell in there.
Seaweed and dry smoke is what we're supposed to smell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see if I can smell seaweed. It doesn't have that manky smell like seaweed does.
No, it doesn't.
Rotten seaweed. Stinks.
Stinks. It's full of flies.
Yeah.
And litter.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're beside the sea, therefore it gets washed away every 6 hours. Right. So we've done the colour, the smell. Right. Colour in the glass. Even more translucent Barbie.
Mm-hmm. We can see right through Barbie. We should have a word with Ken.
Tell you what, Ken's going mad. Are you not pouring your dram into mine and dribbling down my hand? That's not the water glass. That is your whiskey glass, you muppet. I don't want all that. Right.
I'll drink what's left. Oh, do you get that squeak?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much water you put in there. It doesn't really change colour or intensity of colour.
Okay, sounds bad. Ooh,
Yes.
Exceedingly smoky.
It's very smoky. But it's only as you breathe out it gets smoky, but not in a nasty way.
That's lovely. It's not overpowering.
No, it's nice.
You know, the boys from Centrica, when I was working with them the week before last, when we were having a few drams in the last night, and I was, oh, that's a lovely one, that one, and oh, that's, I like this one. And they said, they'd never heard me say that wasn't lovely or they didn't like that one. Every whiskey I tried was a lovely one.
Well, most of them are.
Most of them are, apart from that Gordon and McPhail 8-year-old.
That was harsh.
Is that Old Pompey?
Well, my rule is, if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything, so we always find something nice to say about it.
Oh, yes, aye. Mm. That's a nice necklace you're wearing there.
Yes, thank you. I got that for you for Christmas. Mm. My Sheila Fleet, Grotty Bucky. Mm-hmm. And if you listen, listeners, that's me rattling it around in its creel. It's silver and blue, and it's got a silver Grotty Bucky, which is a shell from the local beach here, inside. I'll take a photograph for you, because it's not very well described.
Anyway, I'm definitely getting smokiness. Mm-hmm. Definitely getting smokiness. Taste.
All I get is smoky.
Smoky and polystyrene for some bizarre reason.
Polystyrene?
No, I'm getting polystyrene.
No, not getting polystyrene.
Mm-hmm. But not in an unpleasant way.
Mm. Well, you can all hear Cottrell's heavily breathing in the background there. We reckon he's got a cold. Mm. Right, so you've got plenty to tell the listeners about the island of Mull, where distilled.
Yes, we used to go over to Mull on reading parties when we were at school.
On the ferry?
On the ferry.
Reading partners.
With our fishing rods and our beer, destined for parties to go and meet fine island girls from the hostels.
Now, you said Mullach. What does Mullach mean?
That's somebody comes from Mull.
Ah, oh, of course.
Same as a skiach or a durach or all these things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what is Tobermory famous for? Apart from the Deeg whiskey?
Well, it's a lot of yachties go there, and it's the Mishnish Bar and
Ballamory.
Oh, Ballamory, yes. How could I miss Ballamory?
It's a very famous in Britain.
Very popular.
CBBS. Children's programme, What's the Story, Ballamory, Wouldn't You Like to Know? Mm-hmm. And of course all the houses on the front, seafront in Tobermory are painted.
They're painted a bright pastel colour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I used to work with a lady whose brother and father had the painting business.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the castle in the programme Ballamory is not actually pink. The telly people made it look pink.
Coloured it in with CGI.
They did, yes.
Ballamory's got it represents every feasible possible ethnic background.
It does.
And class of person.
Mm-hmm. I like the way they did that.
That is very good.
It gave a lot of tourism and kiddie tourism to the area. There's lots to do in Mull. You can go look at sea eagles. You can go and visit all the castles. You can go for lots and lots of lovely walks. And
or you could get a carry out, go over on the ferry, eat Caledonia McBrain or Calmac chips, which have a distinctive aroma of being marinated in diesel. That's the ferry operator over to Mull from Oban. And you could take your fishing rod and go and chase the local wildlife.
Right, so who are you inviting for your drams this episode?
Well, I thought long and hard about it. And just on a spur of a whim of a moment, having seen him on the telly, and I used to watch on the seen him in the paper, and I used to watch him an awful lot on telly. Mm-hmm. Ali G.
Okay.
Because he's funny.
Right. Is it because I is?
It's because you is.
Okay.
In it.
Right, in it. Right, okay.
Who are you having?
I thought I'd have Paula Radcliffe.
Oh, good one. Well, you're into your running just now.
I am, and she is.
Yes, she's very into running.
Mm-hmm. Or Paula.
Or Paula, yes. Now, where were you tonight for the first time ever?
For the first time ever, listeners, I was at a Burns night supper.
A proper one? Well, yeah. It was a very informal one. And who was running it?
North Highland Harriers Running Club, which Richard has joined and I have not.
And I'm running and getting signed up for all these runs.
Yes.
And stuff. But I seem to be doing okay.
So did you enjoy the Burns supper?
I did. It was very informal. It was none of the nonsense that the big posh, pompous affairs have. It was great. They piped in with by artificial means, by someone pretending to play the bagpipes.
Yes, which was
the haggis,
very funny.
And they did the twist of the haggis.
Now, I love the bagpipes. I really do love the bagpipes.
At
but
a distance.
I like the bagpipes outside, because when they're inside, just it's quite noisy. And it changes the tone, I think, of the music. And it's just a bit too overpowering. So I says, oh, are they having a piper? And somebody says, no. And then we were, could you please be upstanding for the piping out of the haggis? And I thought they weren't having them any. And this guy came up going with his hand underneath his armpit making bagpipe noises, which was brilliant.
And then they did that, and then they did all the other sort of talks, and then they had the toast to the lassies.
Yes, she had to stand on the table because she's quite short.
And the lassies reply.
Oh, yes. And there was an international toasting affair because none of the speakers were local.
Or Scottish.
Or Scottish. So it was cracking and very funny and very informal. We got to meet new pals. So we had fresh new friends. That was my theme last
year. And the haggis was very nice.
Yes. The neat was lovely.
It was fantastic.
And we had Kranikin. And Kranikin is oatmeal, raspberries and double cream dish. And they said they had whiskey in it, but I didn't taste any. And also what we got to taste was a new dram, which was Old Pulteney Stroma liqueur.
It was very nice.
Very, very nice.
Very nice when you get some of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Drambuie Glevar type.
Yes, you only want one. But it went very, very well with the haggis.
It got on very well with the haggis. They were the best of friends.
So would you drink this again?
Yes, I definitely would. I like it.
Would you buy it over anything else?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's coming at a place in or near the top 10.
I like the taste of it, but I was so surprised at the colouring of it. I think that's its distinctive...
Very pale.
...feature. Because the bottle and the case are grey and kind of like January a bit.
I'd like to have a wee word about the pronunciations of the word Lydaig. The reason I have strong feelings about this is because the area where I grew up and went to school, round about Loch Nell, is known as Lydaig. And it's pronounced Lydaig.
Did you spell it?
L-E-D-A-I-G.
Mm-hmm.
So where do they get this Lydaig thing from? I'm not quite sure. And Mullachs kind of speak like us anyway. When I say like us, like Obanites.
Anyway, so this was here to a good night, meet new people, and a fine dram. So, sans fa.
Thank you for that.
It has a grey box. How good am I at theming it through the episode? And, as I said, the deep breathing was the dog. As ever.
Blah, 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 blah,
and looking forward to hearing what you're coming up for the 100th episode clip. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook as keithnesscraft and Instagram. And you can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010. You can visit the Podbean site at www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. The music again is from Lizzie Davis with All About the Weather, and you can go buy this from musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.